supports the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So we continue for the last day on the teachings from In the Eastern Rose Garden by Purimurshid Anayat Khan on faith. And we know that there were also some pithy words that Murshid associated with faith for us that maybe resonated in a different way than faith. Can we recall those just as a review? One was faith. One was
trust.
That's right. And yesterday he was talking about it in relationship to
confidence.
Yeah. Was there anything else? He was kind of describing the process of unlearning. Yeah. That we acquire these names and forms, but don't be so attached to those concepts and not that kind of knowledge. Kind of knowledge is helpful to a point, but it can also be an obstacle to real knowing, right? In fact, in some ways, we rely on that kind of knowing when we don't have confidence. Isn't it true? Yeah, so. I think about some of the, especially the Christian mystic saints, you know, the one way that their message was thought to be authentic was because of its simplicity. There was like a purity and simplicity. Of course, we have great philosophers, you know, Vincent de Paul and, you know, St. Augustine, and I mean, we have these great philosophers as well. A lot of times when there's a real test of the faith of the message, it's always looking at the simplicity and purity of it. The lack of self-assertion, you might say.
Occam's razor.
Yeah. So remember those things. You know, faith is also having trust, is also having a self-confidence, taking a leap of faith. Yeah. We do that when we take initiation, don't we? We take a step into something unknown. You know, that's a kind of faith, isn't it? So we end this little cycle of teachings with a few stories that Murshid gives us to highlight faith. I also want to say there may be some of you in the room that may be interested in accessing these teachings online. We audio record them and then we have the outline along with the readings. And so if you want to be on, make sure that we have your current email or whatever. Nur Salima, can you take that information for us? Okay. And we can add you to our e-list. So this is, again, the words of Purimurshid Anayat Khan. And this is his story. There is a story of a Sufi who was traveling with a caravan through Arabia. Among the travelers were some who had money with them for their expenses. They came to a place where it is said that robbers were likely to be, and everybody should take care of his own purse, as many caravans had been robbed in that area. This young Sufi also had some money. But he thought to himself, I have no place to keep my money. I will find some man with whom I can leave it. To whom can I give it safely? He was wondering if there were any village or habitation, but could only see a tent some distance away from where the caravan had come to a halt. So he went, and he found a man sitting, smoking his pipe in the tent. He went up to him and said, I don't know you, sir, but I've heard there are robbers here and that many caravans have been robbed, and I'm a poor man. I thought I should protect my money if I could only find someone to whom I could trust it. Having found this tent, I feel I should entrust it to you. He left the purse and he returned to the caravan. When he arrived, he found that the caravan had been robbed and all had lost their money. He was very glad he had escaped. They were all moaning and lamenting about their losses. He thought that he, at any rate, was safe. Then they described the robbers, saying how many of them had come, how many had been there. He returned to the tent to fetch his money again. He found the same man smoking there, but he was surrounded by many men, for he proved to be the chief of the robbers. Others were sitting there fighting and disputing what share they should take, and the chief was helping them to divide their spoil. So the young man was afraid to go nearer, and at the same time could not help thinking how foolish he was not to have kept his money. For while he was bringing it to the robbers had come, and so he would have escaped. He wasn't there. The others had lost everything, but he had fooled himself. Remember the subject's faith. Well, while he was thinking this and was about to turn away, the chief called. And he called to have him fetched. He approached the chief. He was trembling because he believed that now even his life was in danger. The chief said, Why did you come here? Why are you turning back? The young man asked, Are you not the head of the robbers? Then why should I not wish to go? What use is it to come to you? The chief answered, Man, I received your money to keep. I did not rob you of it. You trusted me. The money is therefore in my trust. Even if I am a robber, I'm not dishonest. I gain by robbery, not by breaking trust. Wow. You trusted me with your money, and your money's safe. Here it is for you to take back again. So the young man was delighted, reflecting what a good thing trust is. Inasmuch as one may have faith even in a robber, for he had proved himself trustworthy. To have faith in another, to call upon their higher qualities. a beautiful little story, isn't it? There really is honor among thieves. Any thoughts?
Haven't you found sometimes that when you trust someone, it raises them and they become trustworthy?
Yeah. It's also empowering people or invoking that quality in them.
So looking for the best sometimes brings out the best.
Yeah.
Not 100%.
Well, one still has one's own will.
You know, following up on that as a teacher, sometimes some of my problem children, I ask to do things for me, and it does bring out their higher self. You know, and because they feel respected, they feel honored.
Yeah, and that
doesn't always happen, but it's a good. I'm sorry, but I call it a strategy, not faith.
Well, it's as if you do trust them, though, to take up that responsibility, and that empowers them.
No, I'm not going to try.
So Murshid goes on in his own words and says, with regard to trusting people, a person may think, is it right to believe in anything a person says? Is it right to trust everybody? There are many people who are not worthy of trust. Shall we then trust everybody in order to develop our trust? The answer is
yes.
Yeah. Yes. The answer is yes. Perhaps we will have failures, but we will only trust another when we trust ourselves. When we have faith in ourselves, then we will have faith in another. Well, what does that mean? Why does Persia say that to us? When we trust ourselves or have faith in another, then we have faith in ourselves.
Not trust enough will not be trusted.
Does it mean everybody's going to rise to the occasion like the head of the robbers?
Perhaps it has something to do with us trusting that no matter what happens on the other side, we will meet that occurrence and be fine.
That's right. You know, it's not like we have to put upon another the expectation, but we have enough faith in ourselves that we will endure that circumstance or the outcome.
It's better to have faith, trust in someone for your own sake, whether or not they betray your trust is theirs.
Right.
But better to dwell in.
I think there's something missing. He's still a thief.
Yeah.
He still has done wrong. By doing wrong, by doing right to one person and yet wronging everyone else, he's still a thief.
That's situational. We don't know what that thief might be doing with his money. You know, Robin Hood was a thief, wasn't he?
But it wasn't his money.
Okay.
Okay.
I think there are things there. Yes, things can be viewed very concretely like that. I am a person that I'll admit this. I have situational ethics. Does that make sense? I mean, I've done things, you know, my mom taught me, she said, you can do anything you want, really, she even said, you could be a thief, you could be many things, I won't go on. But she said, don't ever lie. But I have lied because it's meant saving people's lives. When I've been in India or trying to help Tibetans get political asylum, I'll lie if I have to do that to get them out into safety. It's worth it to save someone's life. For me, it is.
Maybe a point there is that maybe we should start out first by trusting until they prove otherwise.
Well, I think that's what Taj Mariam said. And it's on that person.
Rather than a start out negative, start out positive. That,
well, and that's what Murshid's saying, that yes, we should trust people. And then he goes on to say, perhaps we will have failures, but we will only trust another person when we trust ourselves. When we have faith in ourselves, then we will have faith in another. He's going to go on to illustrate this with another story, by the way.
I think also the in the life experience of the rubber chief, you know, this is just one element, but widespread faith that he encounters repeatedly can change him.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Yeah, we don't know, but that could be very possible. Then he could be the most trustworthy person.
You could turn into a Robin Hood.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But I think that self-confidence, that trust that you're making the right decision grows with experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have failures and you might have a positive outcome, but the more that you have the courage to continue doing it, the more your self-confidence begins to grow, and the more the kind of you're better at being able to trust situations.
Murshid goes on to say, it does not matter if once or twice we are disappointed, but if we are afraid of being disappointed, even once in our lives, perhaps we will doubt all through life. That doubt can be crippling. Yesterday, Murshid said that kind of indecision can lead to a kind of insanity.
There's an unhappiness in that one falls into.
Yeah. It does not matter if once or twice we are disappointed, but if we are afraid of being disappointed, even once in our lives, perhaps we will doubt all through life, and so there will never come a time when we are able to trust anybody, even ourselves. There are many things that can develop our trust. Sometimes an unworthy person can become worthy of trust. The head of the robbers he proved himself worthy of trust because he was entrusted. Does it make any, am I boring you? If I am, that's certainly my contribution. Murshid's message is very powerful. So Murshid goes on to say, there's a story that a preacher was once speaking in a little village in India. This is the story. The peasants where he was preaching could not understand philosophy or mysticism or the great problems of life. What the preacher taught was, have faith in God. Faith is such a great virtue. And he told them that if a person repeated the sacred word, he would be able to walk on water. Everyone was delighted to hear this. What a great thing. And they said, he's always talking about the same thing. Have faith in the word, repeat the sacred word, you'll be able to walk on water. Next day, an old man came and said, sir, I cannot understand the deep problems of life, but I'm very delighted with your idea last evening. The preacher answered, what was that? He said, I was very much surprised. Will you come and dine at my home? It would be such an honor. And the preacher said, yes, with great pleasure. A day was appointed. When the day came, the man arrived to fetch the preacher, and they set off together. Have you heard these stories? You recall them from having read? On their way, there was a little river which had to be crossed. When they reached the bank, the preacher said, where's the boat? Why do you ask for the boat? The peasant replied. The other day you said that when we use the sacred word, you can walk on water. And I was very much astonished to find that it's so. Why take a boat when it's only necessary to say the word? But the preacher could not do it. He was not a true preacher. So he said to the old man, you're my teacher. I have spoken, but you have acted. And if I had your faith, I should also have been able to cross the water. And remember, it was a simple little peasant man. He didn't understand all the philosophy and all the problems of life and all the thinking and the formulas and the this and the that. But he could repeat this sacred word, and he had great faith. And he became light of spirit. The ego was lightened. He didn't sink into the waters of life and drown. He could rise above it. How beautiful is that? Again, that simplicity, that purity. So Murshid goes on to then do a little commentary, and he says, this shows us that things sometimes seem obscured, as if in a mist, as if seen through a dark glass. We fear beforehand that a thing will never come, that there will always be disappointment, failure, and sorrow, or the other is, we fear it will come. You know, something bad's going to happen. And the same conditions will always continue. The only remedy to clear these clouds away is to look for a better time, to hope for something better in life. So now he's bringing in this idea of also hope. So faith, hope, trust. And he's repeating what he said, I think it was actually the first day. He repeats it here again in the teaching. To feel that every thought, desire, and impulse that comes from our heart is from God. So things that arise, they're all from God. I mean, there's the zikr, isn't it? There is nothing, only God is. There is nothing, only God is. There is nothing, only God is. to feel that every thought, desire, and impulse that comes to our heart is from God, and that that is to be accomplished with all that power for some purpose. That every thought, desire, and impulse that comes to our heart is from God. Didn't say our head, you know, not thinking, that comes from our heart. And that it is to be accomplished with all that power for some purpose. No circumstances in our lives, not even friends and advisors, nor our reason or our doubt, should be allowed to prevent the realization of our thoughts. Thoughts become form. In August, my sister and I went to, some of you know that because you're on Facebook, but we were in California in Santa Cruz. And while we were there, one of the reasons is my sister had an affinity towards a Swami from Rishikesh. She's in fact there right now with him. But he was traveling and he was going to be in California, so I suggested that we go see him and meet him, you know. And while we were there, it was at Grace Cathedral. There were lots of people there, a lot of people. But somehow I had the confidence, actually. She said, why are we going to... I said, well, you're going to get a chance to talk with him. How's that going to be possible? I said, don't worry, it will happen. So when he walked in, I said, get up. Because we had gone earlier that day and we had gone and walked through the cathedral. And I knew where he was going. It was an area where my sister hadn't gone. But it was a small little side chapel. I said, get up and follow him. Come on. No. Yeah, get up now. Go. I'll go with you. And so... he was engaged in a conversation, but there were some Indian people there, and I thought, they've had something to do with this organization. And so I said, you know, we've come all the way from Kansas City. My sister knew of Swamiji and Rishikesh. Is it possible for her to have a few moments with him? And they said, oh, yes. Don't worry, when we get up to leave, you'll see us walk out while the program continues. Just follow us. But you know, who could imagine? So we were taken to a small, little activity room that was separate from the church. And a very small group, couldn't be more than, it was less than 10 people, were there. And my sister had an opportunity to really speak directly to the Swami and ask for, to explain some things and to ask for some advice. And this man walked in who knew the Swami, and he was just full of light. I mean, he was just beaming and he had the most genuine smile. It was like everything, all of the cells in his being were smiling. And his name is Dr. Bruce Lipton. Has anyone heard of Dr. Bruce Lipton? Well, he's been doing research, and he has found he's documenting evidence that people through their thoughts are altering their DNA. This has huge implications. Huge.
I'd like to see that.
So it makes us realize what Murshid's saying here from a mystical point of view. Now science is starting to come to understand. And also, you know, the whole idea that, again, like Murshid said, when we have a certain script that we've been handed in our youth and we continue to act out our whole life according to that script, that also changes everything. But if we're willing to free ourselves from that script, it also changes everything. And what we do know scientifically, chronic stress creates disease. There it is. This constant nagging, critical, you know, stressful reality can make us ill. And conversely, we can make ourselves, you know, we can change things. And this isn't new. The mystics always knew this. But now the science is starting to match up with that. I think